Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Catch a Wave with the Surf and Cowgirl, only on LA Talk Radio.
Howdy, 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 y'all. Welcome to Catch a Wave, and where the miracles can always be found in the timing. Talk about favorite things. Got my favorite people from my favorite places, Pastors Mark and Jada Haney with me today. Can y'all hear me good out across the waves?
Yes, we can hear you, Jenny.
We can hear you all the way from Oklahoma.
All right, my favorite, those red dirt hills of western Oklahoma. But we're going to quickly do our Wish on Wednesday, and it's the After School All-Stars. This was a charitable work that the late, great Kobe Bryant was involved in, and it is in academics and homework support, health, fitness, and nutrition, visual and performing arts, youth leadership, and community service learning center. This is provides students with assistance in after-school work and homework, focuses on diverse structured activities and physical and nutritional health for students, provides unique and experimental opportunities for music and dance and painting to build social and creative and emotional skills, and educate students on the practical definition of leadership and their roles and applications of process and in working towards, you know, better communities, and just meeting the needs of peers and families in the neighborhoods. And of course, we're all feeling the loss of basketball superstar Kobe Bryant. And I'm going to do a quote from him real quick. "The most important thing is to try and inspire people so that they can be great in whatever they do." Amen, brother. Amen. And I know you and your baby girl and all of the other people, y'all's at the foot of Jesus today, and y'all are basking in the victory. And so we, our prayers go out to all those families across the LA area that experienced this tragedy. And, you know, Pastor Mark, you and Jada, you have a fabulous little book, Hope Beyond Brokenness, that we'll talk about today. And y'all pastor a church there in Leedy, Oklahoma, Harvest Fellowship Church. And I specifically ask y'all on to help us all be prisoners of hope after we face tragedies. And we had tragedy strike a little close to home this past weekend. One of our fellow farmers and fellow calf ropers in the community there up by Dalhart, Texas, in a little town, Channing, Texas. They lost a wonderful young man, the Garrison family, Kelsey Garrison. He was just a fabulous superstar calf roper. My children were always inspired by his professionalism and his greatness in calf roping. And this young man was just a winner. Just everything he put his hand to, he was winning, 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 always winning. But something that comes to my mind about this young man is when he was about 19, 20 years old, he had saved up his money, and his mom wanted a new tractor, and instead of buying himself a new pickup, he bought his mother a new tractor, a new John Deere tractor. And I was just taken aback. I mean, you know, what 19, 20 year, I think he was 19. What 19-year-old kid buy something for their family that they were in need of and doesn't put their self first? That's the kind of young man Kelsey Garrison was. And so I know he is at the foot of Jesus as well today. And so our prayers go out to his family. And all we can do is move on in our mindset of Prisoners of Hope. But Pastor Mark, I'm going to let you talk about that. Jada, I'm going to let y'all talk about that. How do we go on after tragedy? How long do you grieve? Where to turn now? What to do now?
Well, grief
is first.
Yeah. Well, grief is a process, and there's no 1, 2, 3 for everyone.
That's right.
But there is a cycle of grief that is to be a kind of a normal process. But there's the initial impact of the loss. You then kind of can go into shock. They call it also safeguarding. You have anguish and despair, and then a healthy process. Then you enter into what they call healing, restructuring, resolving, and growth.
Yeah, and that healing and restructuring process can take a long. Even though that's a simple little grief growth cycle. Grief isn't simple. And we tell people, give yourself time, don't rush things. We've done lots of counseling, Jade and I have, with people that have lost loved ones. And that's one of the things that we tell them, it's okay to not be okay. And you're not going crazy. People feel like they're going crazy.
Yeah.
That is back shock stage. And we just tell them, it can take years, and that healing and restructuring, you have the loss, you go through the initial impact, the shock, the safeguarding. We try to encourage people during that safeguarding time, you need to not put up the walls. You need to talk. God made us speaking spirits, and talk therapy. There's something about that when you sit down with somebody and talk things out, the anguish and despair. But that healing and restructuring stage is kind of where you're trying to find a new normal, in life, and that can take a while.
Yeah. A new normal isn't what that actually means is, you're still going to, go through life, and you're going to start functioning and doing the normal things that you always have done before, but you are a different person. You will never be exactly the same again when someone that close to you is gone and your life is forever impacted and changed.
And in your book, you talk about the loss of your child, the loss of your young child. So it's not like, it's not like Mark is sitting there trying to, chat about being pregnant, because he'll never know. Y'all've lost a child. And that alone would make the normal person lose their mind if they weren't careful. But you had a streak of intense loss of life in a very short time period that you talk about in your book, Hope Beyond Brokenness. And so this, I know y'all know what you're talking about here, because you experienced it on a level that is beyond comprehension. And a lot of times people are just watching you lead by example. And when you keep getting up, and some days you're just surviving until you can thrive again. And they're watching
exactly.
you. And so you've been such a great inspiration to so many across your community, across, Western Oklahoma. But I know that now that you've got your, you've got your daughter out of college, and life is moving forward. I know God has great plans for you in your ministry of hope. And this is just a wonderful little book. I mean, talk about my favorite things. I loved this book, and it's an easy read, and it's available on Amazon. Tell us where we can get your book, and then let's talk a little bit about your personal experience and how you came to know how to find your hope beyond brokenness.
You bet, Jenny. Well, they can order the book on Amazon. Go to Amazon.com, and it's available through paperback or Kindle. They can get it that way, and that's the easiest way of getting it. And, of course, the title is Hope Beyond Brokenness. And one of the things, when you'd asked us to come on here today and to talk about this on the, basically just a few days ago, the news that we had got about Kobe Bryant and his daughter, and then I guess it was seven other people that were in that helicopter crash. And then you talked to, I think it was that evening, wasn't it?
Yes, Sunday it was evening. That evening.
Talked,
yes.
Yeah, and when I overheard y'all talking on the phone about asking us to be on here Wednesday, and immediately the scripture that came to me was something that has, I have used this even when I've done memorial services for people when there was an accident involved, because people have questions, you know, why did this happen? You know, the list, you know, and hindsight's always 20/20. I know they're investigating everything. We don't know everything that happened during that crash, but it reminded me of a passage of scripture, and it's just five verses, and I'm going to read it out of Luke chapter 13. And this is when they were talking, there was people talking to Jesus, and he responds to him, and he says, and it's kind of answering that why question, says there were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And then in verse 4, he says, are those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? He says, I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And basically what Jesus is saying is, you know, we live in a fallen world, and there's going to be accidents and tragedies happen, and bad things happen to good people. And, you know, it rains on the just and on the unjust. And basically he was just saying, hey, look to me and live, you know. And I was so thankful to hear about Kobe's relationship with the Lord. And that's very comforting to know that.
Okay, tell me about that, because I don't know about that. What have you learned?
I just heard that he is a believer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Catholic.
Yeah. He was his background was Catholic, and there's Christians in every denomination that's on the planet.
Yes.
You know, and I was glad to hear that.
He had just went to Mass.
Before
the crash, he had been to Mass.
Yeah.
And I always
you can also see him pay homage. I don't know if you ever pay attention, but they even show clips of him in all of his games and things and different plays he would make. And if there was a great play that he performed in, he was always giving homage to God, like doing the, the cross and pointing up and looking up and giving God praise, and he did that, several times. I remember seeing some clips of him doing that. So that just tells you that he had a relationship.
Yeah, he did.
Fabulous.
And Jenny, you was talking about Jada and what all she's been through in her life. And, I've watched my wife, I didn't get to know her mom. We kind of have an inside joke that, hey, will your mom, Darlene, approve of me when we get to heaven, but I did know her. Jada and I started dating when her dad passed away. And then her brother-in-law passed away, and then her sister. And then we had our son. And then we also had a nephew.
It's just about, it's more than, how many people was it in a, what time frame?
What was that time frame, babe? Let's see, your dad passed away when you were 17.
I think it's 9 years.
Yes. About six people.
Yes.
In about 10 years.
Yeah, 9 years. I think it was not. I think last time it was nine. It was like 9 years. So I was there.
And 40 times was like it was in 3 years of each other too.
Yeah,
until my son, and it was 6 years when it happened after my sister that I lost my son.
Yes.
So
and then your nephew. So there was the loss of your mother, Jada, when we were 13. Then there was the loss of your dad when we were 18, right?
Yes.
Then it
but
went.
Before that, I was living with Lynn and Vanna, my sister and her husband.
And Lynn passed away, tragically killed.
Yes. And then she was later killed after, in 95.
Yeah, I lost
your car. And Lynn was in a in a farming accident.
Yeah.
You know.
So just to preview this for people, so Jada, you lost your mother when you was 13. You lost your brother-in-law when you were how old?
I was 6.
Yep. And you were living with your sister and brother-in-law because your mother had passed. Then you lost your father when you were 18.
Yes.
That's when you and Mark started dating. Then you lost your sister.
Yes, I was 24.
Yeah.
Then you lost your son.
Yes.
Then you lost your nephew.
Yes.
And I have to say right now, my God, enough. My God, enough. So when you and Mark started dating, you lost your dad, but then your brother-in-law, your sister, y'all's son, and your nephew.
Yes.
It's just like more than anyone should bear in 4 or 5 lifetimes or ever. I mean, and so it's like if anybody can talk about hope beyond brokenness, y'all can because you've done the work. And you're saying that, you know, grief is a process. And, you know, I call it weeding the garden. Like we got to go tend to our emotional garden. And so
you can't be exempt from grief. You can't skip it. You can't go around it. You can't ignore it. You have to go through it.
Yeah.
You have to embrace grief. You know, so many people fear it and so many people want to avoid it. And so they do all kinds of things. They keep them busy with work. They throw themselves into all kinds of things to escape it. But you can't. And because our body, God said, you will grieve. There is a time to mourn and there's a time for joy. But he said, you will have to go through that process. You cannot skip it. And that's the thing that I just always was so thankful that whenever I was embracing my grief, and I didn't know, if I could do that, I learned, you know, the process was hard because of the losses up to the point of my son. But then when that impact happened, I said, Lord, I don't know if I can make it through this without your help and doing it in a process of embracing it and not fighting it and not hiding from it and not being afraid of it. So many times we're afraid to just allow ourselves to be broken and to allow ourselves to hurt. And we're afraid that we won't ever recover. But see, that's the thing. When I truly allowed myself that total place of abandonment and surrender to that process, and I was able to truly heal and truly embrace coming out of it and moving forward. But it wasn't until I embraced and surrendered to the process was I able to really be able to go through it and come out on the other side of it.
And in a weird way, but it makes me think of this, and I always say this because I'm like, whatever is in front of us that is maybe hindering us or tripping us up or, you know, or keeping us from moving on, I'm like, you know, fight the devil you know, not the devil you don't know. And so people have said, oh, don't say the devil on the radio. And I go, well, I'm just red dirt country. I mean, that's just like, oh, that's the devil. Oh, you know, like when I'm trying to get off sugar. Oh, that sugar's the devil. It's just whatever, like when you're on your diet and you're trying not to eat carbs.
Yeah.
Oh, those potato chips, they're the devil. It's whatever's just hindering you and tripping you up. And so it makes me just think of what I always say, fight the devil you know, not the devil you don't know. And so when you face it, when you face the darkness, when you face the fear, when you face the tragedy, then you begin to work through it, right?
Yes, exactly. And because, like I said, nobody wants to go through pain. It hurts. It's the one thing we try to avoid is pain. Nobody wants to go through that. Nobody says, hey, sign me up, you know, it's just a process that we want to you know, skip and get around.
Be exempt from.
Try to navigate through. It's hard to navigate through it because it hurts. Pain hurts. But through that pain, if you truly reach out, and this is where you have to reach out, you have to talk. You can't isolate yourself. You cannot be a lone ranger when it comes to grief and pain and loss. You have to have help. Yes, you are the one ultimately getting through it, but with help, with counseling, with pastors, with friends, with family, there is hope, and there is those that can help you and guide you through some of these emotions, because it's extreme emotions on a daily basis during your grief process. And you are having, such emotions that it's overwhelming, the emotions of grief and pain.
And let's talk let's talk about Kobe Bryant's wife, and let's talk about the survivors of the others that were lost. They have other children and other family members that are looking towards them to lead in a time of despair. Yeah. And Jada, you talk about that. Y'all talk about in your book, you're like, Mark got so tired of my never-ending tears and grieving that he kind of just had to detach, maybe for self-preservation. And that was hurtful. But then, you know, I had to go on for my young daughter. I had a, you know, I had to go on. Was your daughter 4?
Yeah, she was 4.
And you lost your 18-month-old son. And so you had to go get up in the morning and tend to the 4-year-old. And of course, she had questions. And you, I mean, you know, it's just you, there's no time. There's no time to be weak because people are counting on you.
Yes, that's exactly right. And that's the process that I said. You can still function through your grief, and you have to. You have, you know, like I said, you have everyday lives, but you can do it in a healthy way. There's sometimes when grief can just overwhelm a person and they make a choice to let that grief be their trophy, or they let that grief, they hold on to it too long.
Right.
And that's not what God intended. That's what the grief cycle means. There is a healthy grief growth cycle, but it is a process. And sometimes you need help through that process. And so that's the point I'm trying to share, is there is hope through it. You know, at the time, I thought, Lord, how am I going to ever see light at the end of this? This pain is unbearable after the loss of my child. I had the pain of the empty arms, you know, when an 18-month-old, because they need so much care at 18 months, you know, and it just was, you know, I just had that ripped from me. And I just was like, how do I embrace this and move on when I you know, I'm not needed like I was. You know, the 4-year-old still needed me, but not like an 18-month-old. And so I had to process all that. And everybody's situation and circumstance and their loss is different, you know, with however they're processing it. But that pain and that loss, I knew I had to really reach up into something bigger and stronger than I was. And I had to really be dependent. But Mark did a really good job too. He tried to be the strong shoulders, you know, but he was in pain too. But he did help, and we helped each other. And in times it wasn't easy.
And I can't, you know, imagine what it was like and what the time process was like when you packed up the toys and the clothes and that room was no longer your son's nursery any longer. And I can't imagine what Mark was going through, because he felt cheated. And in the book, y'all's book, Hope Beyond Brokenness, he talks about, you know, like, I had dreamed about, you know, teaching my son how to frame in pitches, because Mark is a very successful baseball catcher and baseball star. And so it's like, me in my life, I was like, when I have experienced tragedy or disappointment, or I'm like, I never signed up for this. Like, whoa, this is not how I wrote the fairy tale in my book. And so that's why I think they call it middle age crazy, because by the time you're middle aged, and y'all weren't even middle aged when you had experienced, we're just now middle aged, you'd experienced so much tragedy in such a short time. It's like, you know, how do you not turn to pills and booze and, you know, well, you got to turn around and grab on to the, you got to turn around and fall at the foot of Jesus and grab a hold of him. That's the only answer I know.
There, that was our own, that was my only hope. It was through my relationship with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. The Holy Spirit is the one that's here comforting us on this earth.
Amen.
And when Jesus came and he said, I come, but I'm going to go and send my comforter. And so he said we wouldn't be alone, and we wouldn't face things without comfort and without help. And so that's what the Holy Spirit was to me. He was the one that got me through so many dark times and so many times of crying out. And he just would, just a sweep of peace would come over me. And I would just do that every time. I would just go to my prayer closet and just cry out in pain. And the Holy Spirit was so sweet and gentle and would come and bring peace and comfort. And I would get up and I would wipe my tears, and I would go and go back into the and do laundry and cook or take care of Taya. But those moments I had to get away to my closet and cry out. And that's how my grief process was. And that's how I got through.
And let me say this, so, for someone who doesn't think that they can tap into the Holy Spirit, or someone who doesn't think they can grab on to him or he's within grasp, I want to say this. I used to wonder, like, how do people really experience the Holy Spirit? And honestly, it's in the subtle things. I mean, it can be someone smiling at you. It can be someone doing a small, it can come through other people. It can come through signs and wonders. It can come through little things, but I want to say this, the wonderful thing about our Father in heaven who loves us. And I've learned a thing or two along the way. All roads lead to Rome, baby. All roads lead to Rome. And there is a creator of this universe. There is a God of source. This is undeniable. And, you know, it doesn't matter how far out and away you think you are. His love chases after you. And it's only one step back. Regardless of how, if you've never known him, if you've never known him, if you've never had a desire to know your Father in heaven, just know that the Word of God says his blessings, they chase after me. They actually tackle me. They grab onto me. So the point I'm making is, this isn't just for Jada. This isn't just for Mark or Jenny. This is for anyone that would want to turn and cry out to God and say, I'm here. Are you there? I'm here. Where are you? And I promise you, you're going to get an answer.
Yes.
Amen.
And, you know, there are times whenever you may not feel that presence, or you may not know it. And there was times in my grief, there was times I didn't feel it. But I knew that I had to believe by faith. You know, faith is something that is, the scripture says that it's the evidence of things not seen or felt or known. But we have to believe. We believe in Jesus. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe in the Heavenly Father by faith. And that is the one thing that pleases him is whenever everything around us is always going to be questioned. Everything around us is unstable. Everything but him. He always remains the same, and he is our rock we can always stand on. And even if you can't say, I can honestly say I feel faith today, you don't have to feel it to believe. But just believe and trust and allow him an opportunity to prove himself, because he will. I promise you, he will prove himself.
I love
but
that.
You have to.
Allow him an opportunity to reveal himself. Allow him an opportunity to prove himself. It's kind of like this. I fly on an airplane all the time. I'm not a mechanical aeronautical engineer. I really don't know how that airplane flies. But I have the faith that I'm going to take a ride and I'm going to go on a journey and I'm going to, you know, make my destination. And so it's like the Holy Spirit carrying you, you know. And so it's like he's there and it's happening and you're engaging whether you think you are or not.
Yes.
By faith, you're.
Yeah. Amen. By faith, you know, and I was sitting here thinking about, and I know there's lots of people that, you know, potentially are listening to this broadcast, and I was thinking from a man's point of view, you know, a husband, in hindsight's always 20/20. I know there was things that we did right in our grief process. There was things that we did wrong. You know, and if I could go back and do things, if knowing things that I know now, I had the mentality as a man that I've got to fix this. You know, I've got to suck it up, buttercup, because, you know, I had a huge fear. We're not going to make this. We've made a lot of turns in our life, but I don't know if we're going to make this one. And so I did throw myself into work, different things. And if I could go back and do it all over again, I would hold Jada more, you know, because she didn't need me to fix anything. She just needed me to be there to comfort her and hold her. And I was fighting back. It wasn't that I didn't love her or anything. It was when I got near her and she was crying, it reminded me that I can't fix this. And it would make me upset and mad. I couldn't get past that. And really all she needed me to do was she wasn't wanting me to fix it. She just wanted me to hold her, you know, and bring that comfort. And so if I could say that to any guy out there, that's what your spouse is needing. You know, and just,
or your child,
yeah, or your child or whoever, whatever family member it is, you know, that's being that broken together. And one of the chapters in our book, it's actually chapter 5, we talk about how to minister to people that are grieving. And not only, you know, Jade and I ministering to one another, you know, even going through our own grief, but like, you know, people that are listening, you know, you have family that, you know, grief is inevitable. You're going to find somebody in your life is going to be grieving. And we call it, I heard a pastor say this one time, and it really stuck with me, and he called it the H rule. Hush, hug, and hurt. And I thought that was really good. And basically the hush is just, you know, be quiet. There's no, you know, answers,
no words
that you can say. I can still remember back, you know, whenever Jade and I went through with, we had people come to our house and just sit in our house. They would just sit there all day. And we had people answering the door for us. We had people taking down the notes of who brought, you know, what food by. But they never said a word to us, but the gift of their presence was beyond words. You know, it brought so much strength to us and they never said a word. That was just that hush, you know, and then the hug, of course, is that just God, you know, made us human beings, the gift of touch, the Bible calls it the laying on of hands, but there's just, that's healing. That's how love is communicated through a hug. And then just hurting, you know, the Bible talks about hurting with one another. We rejoice with those who rejoice, and we hurt with those that are hurting. And that's what it's all about. But if you don't mind, I'm going to read just one little part in this book on this hug, hush, and hurt, since we're talking about this, because it just kind of helps put some things into perspective.
Yeah.
It says, when you experience grief to the magnitude that we have, you can't help but ask the question, why God? And the only answers we have been given from the Lord are this: have faith in me, which Jada was just talking about, trust me, and that's where our hope rests. two of the things we were told supposedly to bring comfort to us, and this is where people don't hush, is when they're talking too much. You know, we had like Jenny was saying earlier, our 18-month-old little boy went home to be with the Lord, and we had people tell us, well, God just needed another angel in his choir, or God needed another soldier in his army. And I'm reading out of the book on chapter 5, and said, I just asked this question, can I be blunt with you? These stink for answers. The why God, those stink for answers to the why God question. The reason God didn't create death, sin did. And 1 Corinthians 15, verse 26 says that last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Another thing that we had happen during our grief process, and I'm just trying to caution people from doing this, other Christians, is we had a well-meaning Christian give us a book called Unbroken Curses. I don't even know who the author of that was, and they gave us the book thinking it would minister to us and set us free. And we had only been walking with the Lord for about 5 years at this time, but I thank God that he gave us a spiritual clue, or this book would have derailed us in our faith. And here's what happened. This book, the premise of this book was, I just have to explain it. To understand, you must be able to rightly divide the word of truth. Always remember, and I preach this to our congregation here at Harvest Fellowship Church all the time, always remember this: for every mile of road, which is truth, there are 2 miles of ditches, which is errors. And so I do understand the validity in the teaching of generational iniquities found in family bloodlines, but the fact is the curse of death is upon all of us, and that's why Jesus became the curse for us at the cross. So now for the believer, death, where is your sting? That's 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55. And thank God, as a young Christian, I understood this. My precious wife, I was talking about Jada in the book, was already living in fear because she had asked me one time in her grief, Mark, who is next? Because she had experienced a lot of death. We'd experienced a lot of death up to this point. And we're thinking, golly, we're, you know, this unbroken curses, we're living under a curse, and who's next? And that's, you know, we live in a fallen world, and that's the curse is death. And that's why Jesus came and went to the cross for each and every one of us. And all we have to do is look to him and call upon him and live.
And but I do want to say that with that as people, we have to be careful though about the things we do say about other people, especially people that are maybe in the limelight, like maybe Kobe Bryant, and some people like that are very easy targets for a lot of ridicule and curses. And you can speak, you know, there's power in our words, and you can speak death and curses on people. And so I just do want to caution people, don't do that. Don't say things like that towards anyone, and speak life and kindness and joy and peace. And when you do, though, it's going to come back on you, and your life is going to be better.
I think we have to be more. Yeah, I think what you're saying is like, don't, like Jada, you were having fear, and you'd lost so many lives in your family circle. You were like, oh my God, who's next? And it was that fear, you know, that fear, like fear set. I mean, you know, not necessarily that fear set at the snare, but it's like just. Matter of fact, just be careful what you speak, because it, you know, power lies in life and death lies in your tongue. And so
absolutely
got to keep your thoughts.
I did battle that fear. I really have over the years of my life. And I've had to really allow God to do that work in me to overcome some of that. And,
right.
And I can just be honest with you. I still to this day have to really get help from the Holy Spirit with that, because I can very easily fall over into some fear, especially when it has to do with my family and their safety.
Well, absolutely, because you've had so much tragedy and so much death around you and in your immediate family. I think about there was a young couple who they lost their child. It was a little girl, and there was a situation that there was a hiatal hernia at birth that was attached to the heart, and the little girl only lived 13 days. And so it was such heartbreaking news to lose this child. But now that family has gone on and living life with abundant joy, you know, and have two more children, and you know, there is hope beyond brokenness, just like the title of your book says. And then I know y'all have a new grandson, and you know, it's kind of like Garth Brooks in his song "The Dance." I would have missed all this pain, but I'd have missed the dance. And I know when y'all are holding that new grandson, the joy that it brings in the life and the love that it brings is beyond comprehension. And you did work through all of this tragedy. You did work through the loss of your family members, the horrifying, tragic loss of your son and your nephew. And now you have this beautiful new grandson that the joy just springs out through your smile and through your heart when you're holding and enjoying that baby.
Yes, and that's the thing, is you have life go, your life does go on. Life does go on after tragedy and loss, and you want it to. I'm grateful that I can have a grandson now and enjoy him. And you know, because all of our life is about, you know, is enjoying those relationships. And so I'm, you know, I just give God praise for being able to be a grandmother now. And just seeing my daughter be a mother has been just a wonderful thing to be witness to. And so we do get through just those hard times. And sometimes we forget that it's okay to have joy again. It's okay to look forward to things in life again. And, you know, and that's another thing that we just have to allow ourselves and give ourselves permission to enjoy life, even when tragedy has happened or when we do have that significant person that's not there anymore. We just have to find a way to enjoy those that we do have remaining and the life that we have left, and just embrace the moment and just be able to just reach out and give love to anybody that we come in contact with, and just understand that there are those around us that are grieving or that are hurting. And we get so caught up sometimes and we don't realize that people need encouraged and people need help. And so we have to be willing to extend that sometimes and just, you know, come out of ourselves. Sometimes the best healing you can ever receive is giving out love and compassion to someone else that brings just a return back to you. And so that's why Mark and I wrote our book. You know, we wanted to share the hardships, but also the hope in telling our story, in hopes that it would be a help to someone else that maybe stuck in their grief, or maybe just having some kind of something, a part of their grief that's hindering their relationships or hindering their growth or hindering their healing. And, you know, that's the whole reason why we wanted to write the book, was it to be a help. And that's the only prayer I pray, you know, when we wrote the book, was, God, please, I just pray that this can be a help to somebody. And so, that was the whole point, is to just reach out and to be a help.
I always say, you know, give it away to get it and give it away to keep it. That's like, right. And I think as human beings, we have a need to be needed, and we are not, I mean, I always say, be careful of isolation, because addiction or depression is fed by isolation. And I wanted to touch quick about what Mark said. You know, And I'm so glad he brought this forth from a man's perspective, because a lot of times in the family, in the home, you know, women are taking care of the home, and all men have to do is get up and go to work. So they, and so the women in the home, they make it easy for the man to just get up and go to work. And the man of the house, they can use that as a, well, I've got to work. Well, I got to work. And so that can be used as like an escape. And then you're the woman sitting there at home and you're dealing, you know, you're dealing with things. And so I guess I'm glad that he brought that forth. And then I think, of course, you know, women tend to be more emotional. And so, you know, he said, if I could go back, I would have hushed and hugged her more. But it's like when you didn't get through your pain and your anguish in the same time frame that he did, it reminded him that he couldn't fix it. And he felt fractured, which that makes us have, you know, we feel out of control. We fear, we have fear. And fear is a, you know, fear and anger, they're rooted together. So I thought that was a really good point that, you know, he was like, okay, we got to make this turn. We got to pull this together. We got to circle the wagons and regain composure and focus. And how are we going to work through this? And so I still question how you did it, but you did it by the grace and the mercy and the hope and the faith and the love of God. And Mark, I'm going to ask you a hard question. And, you know, I'm going to ask you a hard question, but first I'm going to say, God made it so simple that even a child could grab onto it. God is love. Mm-hmm. God is love. So if you don't know the Word of God, and if you were not brought up in a church family, and then let's just talk about that. A lot of people been hurt in the church. And so we got a few minutes left, and I want you to say why we're endorsing our way, because there's lots of different ways. We're like, as Americans, we're like an American melting pot, and there's like lots of cultures and ethnicities and belief, foundational belief systems. And I first can simply say, well, this is what I was taught. My training was in the truth of the Word of God, and my training being a child of the Bible Belt, you know, is in Jesus. But I go back to my training, but I also know that God, creator of source, He is love.
Right.
And so I just want you to reach out. Why are we worthy? And it's probably because Jesus paid a price on the cross and secured our eternal victory of that life over death in eternity. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you say?
Oh, yes. Yes, that's the answer. That's who our hope is Jesus. But, you know, I'll be honest with you. I went through, because I was even in ministry at that time, you know, had surrendered my life to the Lord and had asked Jesus, you know, was a believer, was a follower of Jesus. But I'll be honest with you, I got mad at him and I let him know about it. I would say my relationship for a season there was pretty estranged. I told somebody one time, even though I was still in ministry, I know this is going to sound kind of strange, but it was like my relationship with the Lord was like I was working for a boss that I didn't like.
Understandably and, so. Understandably so.
Yeah. And, you know, and there's a part in our book where I share about a moment that I had with God, and it's when I was sitting on the edge of the bed of my son's bed in their room, and they had, Tay and Jaden had bunk beds, had red bunk beds. I can still see them. And I was sitting on the edge of the bunk bed, and it was early one morning. Sun was just coming up, coming through the windows. And, you know, this was several months after the funeral. after the memorial service, after everybody, you know, life was going back to normal for everybody, you know, and it was just like, you know, we were like, it's like you're living a nightmare, you know, you're just like, okay, we're going to wake up and this is going to be all different one morning.
Right.
Anyway, that morning I went in there just to try to pray. I mean, it wasn't that I went in there to have my quiet time with God. I just went in there to try to pray because I wasn't having any kind of prayer life at that time. And this is the first time I had seen it, is I was sitting there and the sunlight coming in caught on the wall. The walls were painted white in their bedroom, but it caught a cross that somebody had done with oil on our wall. And if people don't understand that, what had happened was, we didn't know this, but the church that we attended, they sent some prayer warriors into our house before we came home from the hospital and prayed over our house and went and anointed every room with oil. It's biblical. The oil represents the Holy Spirit. And I saw this cross, and it was kind of over the doorposts in Tay and Jaden's bedroom. And I got ticked off. I was just like, yeah, God, where were you at? You know, I'm the priest and prophet and pastor of my own home. And I've prayed that hedge protection over my children. And, you know, on that particular day when all this happened was whenever I had left to go on a pastor's conference, with Andy Taylor and Daryl Perry from Trinity Fellowship Church in Sayre. And I was just angry. I was like, God, you know, I was going to a pastor's conference, and then all this happened when Jada called me, you know, where were you at when all this was going on? And I pray over Jada, and I pray over our kids, and, you know, why weren't you protecting them? And I was mad, and I was letting him have it that morning. And while I was sitting on that bunk bed, this is when God gave me the revelation that I hold until this day, and I say it at our church all the time, that God is good all the time, and all the time God is good.
Amen.
And at that moment, God was telling me that, Mark, I'm good. And I'm like, no, you're not. I mean, if you were good, this wouldn't have happened. And it was just like God opened up my eyes, and I can't even describe it, you know, in words, but he just basically let me know right now is a pivotal time in your life. And I knew that what was going on was the enemy of my soul, which is the devil, was tempting me by questioning God's goodness. You know, it was just like the Garden of Eden. Did God really say, you know, and we live in a fallen world. I knew all that. I mean, I know all this being a pastor and being in ministry. We live in a fallen world, and that bad things do happen to good people. And Matthew 5:45 says, he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. And what the Lord, kind of the vision, I guess you would say, that the Lord gave me that day sitting on my child's bunk bed was, he showed me that there was a trophy that represented my faith and trust in him, and that the enemy was trying to steal my trophy out of God's trophy case. And in that instant, I saw two ways that my life could go. One way was going to be like what you said earlier, Jenny, about, you know, bellied up to a bar, you know, doing drugs, whatever, and drinking my blues away and being bitter, mad, and angry at God and angry at life and the whole world. Or the other way was to trust God and believe in his love and goodness for me. And what it basically all came down to was a choice. You know, are you going to choose life or death? Are you going to choose blessings or curses? And I said, God, I choose you. I choose
Amen.
To trust you. I don't understand this, everything that you're weaving together at this moment in my life. And I just choose to trust you and believe in your love and believe in your goodness for me. And so I say that all the time at our church. You know, I'll say God is good, and everybody say all the time. Then I'll say all the time, and everybody say God is good.
Amen.
And I try to remind them, hey, this is not just some little Christian cliche that I say. It's something I say over myself and to myself and to God and to the enemy and to whoever will listen. That no, I choose to trust that my God is good, and he's good all the time.
Amen. And I say to myself, living and dying with the choices I make. Living and dying with the choice. And I choose hope. And I'm looking at this little quote by Martin Luther King Jr. It says, we must accept finite disappointment, but never lose infinite hope. And all I know is that I have to be a prisoner of hope. It's the only way I can go on. I have to have beginner's mind. I have to have childlike faith, because the alternative is death and destruction and despair. So I can only choose hope. And my training is in Jesus. That's where my training is. And so I don't, I don't think we got to cram it down anybody's throat. I think that, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman, and and your walk that you walk is more inspirational and valid than the talk that you talk. And so I hope that in our walk, we inspire people. And I'm thinking right. God is love. God is love.
He is.
And love is God. And God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Well, quickly, I'm going to say thank you to my sponsors, Sip to Life, Bamboo Straws, Biogradable Straws by my little friend, little entrepreneurial friend, Sip to Life, Bamboo Straws, and also Luxury Consignment, Squat Curls. They're on Oaklawn in Dallas. I appreciate my sponsors, and thank y'all so much, Pastors Mark and Jada Haney of Harvest Fellowship Church in Leedy, Oklahoma. Some of my favorite things, Western Oklahoma, Red Dirt Country, where basketball is our sport of choice. And our prayers and our love and our reach of hope goes out to Kobe Bryant's family, and all of the other lives of the wonderful people that went down in this helicopter crash. And it's just beyond comprehension. Our hope and our love and our prayers go out to the family of Kelsey Garrison as they laid their son to rest this past weekend. And thank y'all again for being with us. And one thing I know is that this little book that you wrote, Hope Beyond Brokenness, available on Amazon by Pastors Mark and Jada Haney, it is going to have a huge rippling effect in the ministry of hope out across the nations. So don't despise humble beginnings. This little book in this little town in Western Oklahoma, God is using you. God is going to use you. You've been such a blessing in your testimony, and you walk out in power in your testimony. And thank you for being with us today. God bless
y'all.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
God bless.
It was a blessing to be on with you.
You're listening to Catch a Wave with the Surfing Cowgirl, only on LA Talk Radio.